Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Kuf Chaf in Chulin. Ninth perek of Chulin. Difficult perek of Chulin. Difficult only because we're just not familiar with Tumah Tahara, so that's why we're learning, so we can get familiar with some of the basics of Tumah Tahara. The two basic topics that come up in the ninth perek is the topic of Yad and the topic of Shomer. Quickly to review, this is probably the best 5 minutes of the daf today. That's not true. Okay, but it'll be a good 5 minutes. Just quickly, let's review. The Mishnah starts off with Ha'or v'arote v'akipa v'ha'ala v'hatsamos v'agidim v'akarnayim v'atalafim mitstarfin. L'tami tumas ochlin. There's a concept called tumas ochlin, that a food is susceptible to tumah. Food can both import tumah from a source or even from a derivative, even from a vlad, and the food can then pass along tumah, export tumah. How big does the food need to be? So it needs to be the volume of a kibetza. I don't know if I mentioned this in the beginning of the perek. I'm just going to add one more piece of information to my repertoire, and that is that there is a discussion amongst the Rishonim, how big does the food have to be in order to receive tumah, in order to import tumah? Meaning everyone's in full agreement that to export tumah, the food has to be a kibetza, but how big does the food have to be in order to receive tumah? So there is a sifrei, or a sifra, that says that the food doesn't have to be any size whatsoever, even if it's a mashehu. And then it's only that midrabbanan, and only rabbinically does it have to be the size of a kibetza. Okay? There is a discussion whether that sifra is talking on a daraisa level or on a derabbanan level. But I'll tell you what, though. Just to make our lives simple and our discussion simple, let's just say, even though it's not 100% accurate, let's just simply say that the food has to be a kibetza in order to both import and to export tumah. Okay, and there are two basic concepts that come up in the ninth perek: the concept of shomer and the concept of yad. Anything that is protecting the food, like the peel of an orange, so that's considered part of the food. Even though it's not edible, even though we're not going to eat it, doesn't matter. It's a shomer, it protects the food, it's considered part of the food. Not only will it facilitate importation and exportation of tumah, it will also contribute to the size of the food. So let's say the orange plus, well, the orange is a bad example because orange is a big food, but let's say the orange plus the peel equals a kibetza, meaning the orange by itself is not, but the orange plus the peel equals a kibetza, you have a shear. Even though it's not a kibetza of actual food, it doesn't matter, shomer contributes to the size of it, and the shomer will be counted towards the shear, towards the requisite amount. Okay, that is the concept of shomer. And then there's another concept called yad. And yad, the concept of yad, is it's a handle. It's a conduit of tumah. So in other words, what the yad will do is it'll basically, like as I mentioned yesterday, electricity is just a good construct in terms of how to understand it. It'll basically allow the transmission of tumah to come in and out of the food. It won't contribute to the size of it. A handle is not edible. It's not there to protect the food. It's just there to handle the food. So as a yad, so as a handle, it will allow tumah to go in, it will allow tumah to come out. So if the tumah touches the yad, the handle, so the tumah will go into the food. If the food then touches something else, not directly, but through the yad, through the handle, the tumah will go leave the food and go into whatever it's touching, assuming that there would be a transmission of tumah between the food and whatever it's touching. So min ha-Torah, the food can export tumah to Truma.
Only Truma.
And Kachim. There
to
is
a person, not to Kelly.
Not to a person, not to a Kli. Okay? Food cannot transmit tumah to person or to Adam or Caleb. Even rabbinically. There will be
only
no
to Truma.
Right. There is midrabanan, a concept where if you eat tameh food, you become tameh. But that's a derabanan concept. But touching food, even midrabanan, the person does not become tameh. Okay, let's leave it at that. That's the best way to answer the question.
So when somebody touches a novella, that's food.
But the novella, you see, that's the thing. Novella is two things. Novella is food, and it's a novella.
Ah.
Right? Remember, the Mishnah, this also goes back to the when we started the ninth parak, the Mishnah gave the most bizarre scenario where I take an animal and I shecht it for a non-Jew, and the Mishnah basically says, you know what can happen? Without getting into the details of the case, it could start off as food and then become a novella. Because really, it's two things. It's food and it's a novella. Now, once it's a novella, the fact that it's a food, I mean, so what? Meaning, as a novella, it's a source of tumah. But there is possibility for it to be food and then a nevela. Okay. We are a little bit behind. We're on Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph and Tashma. And the Gemara says, come in here. Now, we are in the middle of a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says that in order for Yah to work, you need a kezias. Okay. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, and this is a big Rashi Tosfos discussion yesterday, it's kind of funny that he lays out a shear of a kezias when the food, the Tumas Ochlin, needs a kebetza, and that's about twice as big as a kezias. So it's kind of strange that he's talking in terms of kezias, but he is. Okay, but the point is according to Rav, in order for a yad to work, you needed to actually handle a certain amount of food, and that amount is a kezias. As far as a shomer is concerned, you need a pool, a small bean. Okay. In other words, a small bean of food, of actual food, in order for whatever is covering it to be considered a shomer. Okay, that's Rav's opinion. And Rav,
and then the rest is mitzvah.
And then the, well, that,
the shomer is mitzvah.
Yeah, and then the shomer will be mitzvah. Absolutely correct. And then Rav Yochanan says, no, there's no threshold. There's no minimum threshold, which means that according to Rav Yochanan, well, not no minimum threshold, but I'll just say it like that just to keep everything simple. There's no minimum threshold that for a yad, even if it's less than a kezias. And if it's a shomer, it's even less than a pool. So according to Rav Yochanan, a handle will be a handle, even for a food. That's a small amount. And a shomer will be a shomer, even for a tiny amount of food. It doesn't matter. So you have like a tiny, you know, barley grain, and it's covered by this huge protective shell, which I understand is more theoretical than practical. But the point is that according to Rav Yochanan, that's going to be considered a shomer, and now you'll have a kebetza. You'll have the shear of a kebetza. Okay, this is what we've been discussing now for the past number of days, and we're continuing, and Tashma, and we start now with another Mishnah from Uksim, we're on Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Mishnah and Uksin. I told you, a lot of this Yad discussion, a lot of the Shomer discussion are really Mishnayos and Uksin. I've been recommending to myself and to others as well. We should learn the Mishnayos and Uksin. It's three Prakim, it's not a lot. And it really will help us familiarize ourselves with these Dapim of Gemara, and just in general, the concept of Yad versus Shomer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Matar Bishal Pul, Matam Bishal Kitnis, Mimnei Sherotze Bemash Mishan. This is a Mishnah in Uksin, really discussing the Sharvit, right? I know when I say Sharvit Hazahav, right? The golden rod. The Sharvit is the pod in which the beans are going into. So when he says, so Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that when it belongs to the pool, right? Whatever this bean is, different, various types of beans. So when it deals with the pool, so it's metahir, meaning it doesn't serve as a shomer. It doesn't serve as a protective layer. But when it deals with the kidneys, some sort of legume, I don't know the difference between them, I apologize. But when it deals with the kidneys, so it will serve as a shomer, mipnesha wrote the bemash mishan. Because when you're dealing with the kidneys, you don't want to handle it. It's a very delicate, sensitive little bean. You don't want to handle it. You want the sharvit on top of it. Hence, you want it as a shomer. Hence, it is serves as a both a conductor of tumah and also mitzarif, and it also adds to the shear of tumah. So the Gemara is really bothered. In other words, there's an implicit question over here. We're dealing with a kitnis. Kitnis is a little bean. And meanwhile, it says that if I have a pot around it, it serves as a shomer. And according to Rav, ein shomer lapachas mikapul, that you can't have a shomer if that which is encapsulates is less than the size of a pool, and apparently this kitnis is less than the size of a pool. So the Gemara's answer, kida amar Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava, bekulcha mishum yad. Hachanami bekulcha mishum yad, umay b'mash mishan, b'tash mishan. So we're going to give a new interpretation of that Mishnah Uksin. And you'll see a lot of this maneuvering. The Mishnah Uksin is not talking about a shomer, it's talking about a yad. Right? Very often you'll see that we'll just transition, we'll switch from shomer to yad, you know, pretty seamlessly. It's talking about a yad. You're picking up those little beans by the top, by using the pod, meaning the pod is serving as a yad. And you're not talking about one little bean, you're talking about multiple beans inside. And even so, it says, mashmishan. Now, mashmishan means to handle it, meaning because you don't want to touch it. Don't read it mashmishan. Read it tashmishan, meaning facilitates. It allows me to be mashamish, allows me to pick it up using the pod. So we're talking now Yad, we're no longer talking Shomer. And remember, when we're talking about Yad, so it's true that in Yad Pachos Mikazayis, according to Rav, but we're talking about a lot of beans over here, being picked up at once.
And Rav holds that, like, the cluster of grapes, they're all being mitzarif.
And we'll have to say, correct, and we'll have to say that they'll all be mitzarif. All right, okay. The Tashma Detan de Be'er Avishma, we go back to a brisa that we already learned once before. Akol Zera Zeru Asher Yizareya. We go back to the Apostle in Parashat Tzav. Kiderch Shebnei Adam Motzin Chita B'Klipasav Seor B'Klipasav Ve'Adashim B'Klipasan. It's the question over here, so simple. And it really cuts to the heart of the matter. Meaning, over here, this is the source of Shomer. And it says that when you take out a wheat kernel with its shell, and a barley kernel with its shell, and a lentil with its shell, so that shell will be mitzarif, that will combine. Now, we're discussing shomrim for things that are smaller than a bean, a barley seed, a barley kernel, smaller than a bean, and meanwhile, we're talking about shomer. Gemara's answer, bir yashani, right? This is it's a short answer, it's a very punctuated answer. We've seen this answer in many different contexts in the Gemara. We're talking about a whole entity. And since we're talking about a whole entity, so it's true. When I have food in general, I need a shear, a kezias, a kebetza. But when I have an entire entity, I no longer look at what size it is. An entire entity is significant. It's chashuv in of itself. And so therefore, I don't need an amount. I don't need, the quality of one entity far surpasses the quantity of how much I need. Okay, we saw this discussion in terms of bittel blocking. We saw this discussion in terms of getting malchus for eating a bug, right? And the Gemara now says that this concept applies to tuma as well. That if I have one seed and it's covered by this big chaff, it's going to combine in order to make the shear. But it's only one seed. It's only one kernel of barley, birya, by Rav Hoshea. Okay, new topic of discussion. Again, not really new, but new stage in the discussion of Shomrim. Okay, we're top of Kuf Yutes Amud Beis. Rav Hoshea asked the following question. Shnei Shomer Maoshi Yitztarfu. What about a double Shomer? Okay, a Shomer on top of a Shomer. So the Gemara says, let's be specific about what we're asking. Hei chida mi'ilei mevzeh agav zeh omiko Shomer agav yishomer v'hatnan. Rav Yehuda Omer, well, before I start reading this Mishnah, basically, here's what isn't the question. We're not asking one shomer on top of another shomer. Okay, no such thing. No such thing as a double shomer. Meaning a shomer is that object, that item which is protecting the food. If something's protecting that, that's not a shomer. So in other words, the peel of the orange is protecting the orange. Okay, I guess if you want to be technical, you could take that orange peel and divide it from the orange to the rind. But the point is that it's really one peel that's protecting it. Right, correct. And in fact, we're going to see a Mishnah in Uksin that discusses this very issue about multi-layer. Well, the Gemara is going to talk about, the Mishnah is going to talk about the onion. Right? Onion has a lot of layers. Right? I think that's usually the very nature of the onion. So, v'hatzanan, Rav Yehuda Omer, and you're going to see this inside, in this Mishnah in Uksin, that there's no such thing as a double shomer. Meaning, it's the first protective layer over the food, that's the shomer. Anything above and beyond that is nothing. Meaning halachically not considered. Here we go. Mishnah Uksin. Okay. Second parak of Uksin. Rav Yehuda Omer, Shalosh Klipos Babatzel. There are three layers around an onion. Penimis, Ben Shlema, Ben Keduros, Mitztarfos. Look, let's start with the panimi. We'll start with the inner layer. Now, when we say inner layer over here, we mean the actual onion itself. Meaning, that first layer of onion, okay? In other words, the white stuff that you cook. So that's a food. Meaning, so the Mishnah says, it doesn't matter whether it's whole, whether it's perforated, it doesn't matter. It's a food, it's going to be mitzarif. Emtsayis. Now, let's get to that next layer. The next layer above that is the brown stuff, okay? But in other words, the first brown layer around the white. So the Mishnah says, Shlema Mitzdarefes, Kedura Mitzdarefes. So here, if you want to call it a Shomer, it's got to be Shlema. It's got to be whole. If it's not whole, it's not a Shomer, and so we're done. But if it's whole and it's intact, it's a Shomer, and therefore it'll be Mitzdaref. Meaning we could take the volume of whatever that layer is going to be and add that to the shear, if necessary. And then, chitzona, ben kach tahora. Now, what about the layer above that? Meaning, so now we're talking about really an outer layer to the brown. So, right, I guess, in other words, sometimes you do peel a couple of layers before you get to the actual onion. So we're talking about really an exterior layer, a layer to the actual shomer itself, tahora. Doesn't matter if it's whole, doesn't matter if it's perforated, ben kach uven kach, it's going to be tahor. So, again, so what do you see over here? No such thing as a shomer on top of a shomer. Okay, good. So then we're kind of stuck because Rav Oshia says, what's the story with the shomer? What's the story with a double shomer? So the Gemara, Rav Oshia is clearly asking a question, and he knows the Mishnah Nuktzin. So the Gemara's got to refine his question. So Rav Oshia shomer ochel shechalkul kami ba'ele. So the Gemara says his question was like this. It wasn't a double shomer, meaning one on top of another. That's a Mishnah Uksin. We don't have to ask a question. What we're asking is, what if the shomer was divided so it no longer serves as a full insulation around the food, but it kind of is like a one-sided insulation? Now, it's funny, we kind of know the answer to that question already, because what did we learn in our Mishnah? That the hide of an animal is considered a shomer. Right, and the hide of an animal doesn't, unless you're talking about the entire animal whole. I mean, we could be saying that, but most likely we're talking about the animal which is cut up, and we're talking about a shomer on one side. Okay, so we could answer the question from our Mishnah. In the meantime, however, the Gemara goes on to discuss. Ochel shechalka kami ba'ilei, kevin dehai lo megin ahai, v'hai lo megin ahai, lo mitzdarefes. So we could argue that, look, now that's divided, and basically you'll take your orange and you'll cut it in half. So now the peel only serves as a shomer for one side of the orange, not for the other side. When the orange was totally intact, so then you could talk about how each part of the peel really serves as a shomer for each part of the orange, because it creates an airtight seal. But once you open it up, do we still give it the status now of a shomer? Or the Gemara says, no, look, you're right. Right now the peel is not serving as a shomer for the other part of the orange. But at least for the part that it's around right now, temporarily, it will provide some layer of protection. So maybe it still serves as a shomer, even though it's not a shomer for the entire food. Tashma, Rebbe Elazar ben Azari, Matar b'shal pul, Matame b'shal kitnis mimnei, Sherotz de b'mash mishan. So the Gemara says, we'll go back to our Mishnah and Uksin, we'll talk about again the pod, and what does it say regarding the pod? That the pod serves as a shomer, why? Mimnei Sherotz de b'mash mishan. Because you don't want to handle the peas themselves. Only when the pod is totally around, only then does it serve as a shomer. It seems from that Mishnah that it's only a shomer when it creates a full seal around the peas. And again, the Gemara does what it did before, which is that Mishnah Nuksa is not talking about a shomer, it's talking about a yad. You're picking up the pod in order to pick up all those peas. But not because you really want it as a shomer, but simply because you want it as a yad. Tashma, we're going to do this again. Tana debe Rabbi Shmuel kol zera zarua kiderach shebnei adam osil lezriach chita beklipasa osor beklipasa veadashin beklipasan. So the Gemara over there again assumes that this brisa Rabbi Shmuel is talking about a shomer, and again it sounds like in order for a shomer to be a shomer, you need a full encapsulated shomer, and if you split it in half, it's not going to be a shomer. And the Gemara is going to do it again. Kedama Ravacha Brei Derava B'Kulcha Mishum Yad Hachanami B'Shedra U'Mishum Shomer. When we're talking about picking it up, not because I want the casing to be a shomer, but simply because I want to pick up a lot of grains at one time. So I use the stalk to pick it up in order so I can pick up a whole bunch at one time. I'm using it as a yad, not as a shomer. Now Bishlama Ilisa Trichalatisisa. So the Gemara says, look, And now it'd be a lot better in this discussion if I had a stalk in my hand right now, because I don't fully understand this. But the Gemara, I kind of understand it. The Gemara says, look, the lower grains, I understand they hold up the upper grains. So if the lower ones aren't there, the upper ones are going to kind of fall off. But what? Why do I need the upper grains? So the Gemara says, Ella Taisitza Maitzricha, Leilisa Bechadara. So the Gemara says, well, they're all on one row. And since they're all on one row, one falls, they all fall. So therefore, I need to basically pick it up using the stalk. Umiika Kabeitza Ochlan Bechadara. Are you going to find this? Are you going to find a full volume of an egg with only one row of grain? So the Gemara says, yeah. Bechita de Shema Meshetach. Anyone see the grain of Shema Meshetach? Now, the answer is not me. Okay, I'm not one of those people. But Gemara assumes if you saw the grains of Shema Meshetach, you'd know, you'd understand. His grains are sizable, and so even one row is going to constitute the volume of a kabeitza. Hashadasa sahachi, charechita nami bechita de Shema Meshetach. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, now that we know that we're talking about the grains of Shema Meshetach, so you should know that even one of his grains is the size of a kabeitza. Okay, so, you know, he made it into the Guinness Book of World Records with his grains. Just one wheat grain is the size of a volume of an egg. Amazing. Gufa. Okay, we quoted a Mishnah, a Tosefta yesterday. We're going to go back to that Tosefta. And let me remind you what the Tosefta was. Remember my markers yesterday? Okay, we're going to go back to my markers. Okay, we had two human bones, remains, obviously. And we put them at the edge of the house so that the flesh was on the outside and the bones were actually inside the house. And what did we say yesterday? And the case was is that there's a half a kazayas of flesh on this and a half a kazayas of flesh on this. Now, there are two opinions in that Tosefta. The first opinion is, tumah goes in. The bone serves as a yad, right? So it's a conductor. So now the tumah goes in. And even though this only has a half a kazayas, doesn't matter, half a kazayas of mace is now in the house via the bone. Same thing with this guy. Same story, even though it's a different color. Don't get fooled. It's a bone with a half a kazayas, and again the tumah goes in. So now I have in the house two half kazayasim, two halves as a whole. I have now a full kazayas of mace in the house. So the house is now filled with tumas mace. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And the one who argues is Yehuda ben Akusa. Yehuda ben Akusa, not a popular name in Braisos and Mishnayos. So he says, no, it's not Mitztaref. It doesn't combine. Now, what it could mean, as the Gemara suggested yesterday, is because since you don't have a full kazayas on each bone, the bone is not going to conduct. Meaning, like Rav says, that you need a kazayas in order to conduct, in order to serve as a yad. You don't have a kazayas, it doesn't conduct. That's probably what he means. That's what the Gemara suggested yesterday. Okay? Good. We move, we go back to this Tosefta. The first thing the Gemara does is it quotes it. Gufa. Shnei atzamas v'alem shnei chatzai zeisim v'yechnis roshem shnayim labayis. V'habayis ma'ahil aleihem habayis tameh. The house is ma'ahil. The house actually serves as a roof over the bones, not the actual mace as I described. But just the bones, the house is tame. According to the Tanakhama, Yehuda ben Akusa, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Heich Shnei Atzamos Mitztarfen Lechazayas. No, it cannot happen. The bones do not combine to make a kazayas. Good. That's the Tosefta we quoted yesterday. The Gemara is quoting it now because it wants to discuss the following. Atma Reish Lakish Loshanu Ela Etzem Dehavayad. Aval Nima Lo Havayad. Now, a bone is a conductor. A bone is a yad. Meaning that if I want to handle the meat, now I know we're talking about human remains, so it's kind of an awkward discussion. But certainly you understand by an animal. So if I want the meat and the meat's connected to a bone, the bone's an excellent way to handle the meat. Okay, so it's a yad. And a bone can serve as a yad, but not a strand of hair. Meaning, instead of there being a bone, let's say that there's a simple strand of hair connected to the mace. And now the mace is outside and the strand of hair it's a long strand of hair and it goes into the house. The strand of hair does not serve as a yad. pretty sensible position. Meaning, do I, again, we're talking about human remains, but do I pick things up using one strand of hair? The typical answer is no. We could talk, in other words, if there's more than one strand of hair, if there are multiple strands of hair, if there's a lock of hair, okay, so then we could have a discussion. But just for one strand of hair usually doesn't make for a yad. Okay? So that's the opinion of Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Nima Nami Havayad. Rav Yochanan takes a position which is harder to explain, harder to understand, but Rav Yochanan says that even one nima, even one strand of hair, can serve as a yad. Okay? This is the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish off the Tosefta. The Tosefta clearly maintains that a bone serves as a yad, because that's how you would pick up the meat, but now we're having a debate amongst the Amorayim whether the strand of hair serves as a yad. Ezra Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish or Sheish Lav, because I espasar hanogea b'tziv ayotzi mimenu, uvisa rasha kenegdo tame. Okay? Mishnah. Mishnah later on, coming up in the ninth parak of Chulin. If I have a hide that has kezayis basar on it, and I touch either a sieve, Rashi explains sieve is